The first reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 27 to 31. So, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption, our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Can you all hear me? Okay. Thank you. A young boy saw his old granddad digging up holes in the back garden and asked his granddad, "Granddad, why are you digging holes in the ground?" Granddad replied, "I'm going to plant some fruit trees." The boy asked, "Fruit trees?" Then the granddad said, "Yes, fruit trees, my son." The little boy scratched his head and said, "But Granddad, you may not live until the day these trees bear any fruit." Granddad replied, "But my child, I'm growing these fruit trees not for my own purpose, but for everyone else to enjoy them in the future." Little boy learnt a valuable lesson from his granddad. In Genesis 1:25 to 31 says, "So God created mankind in his own image and blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it.' God saw all that he had made, and it was very good." And it was. Isn't God so generous? He has given us such a beautiful world to live in. Check out this video to remind us how beautiful God's creation is.
Thank you.
God's creation is incredible. I hope you enjoy that video as much as I did. Why is the positive environment so important to us as Christians? God has clearly placed humans in a position of responsibility over the creation. In Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." What is "work it and take care of it" mean to you and me? The Hebrew words translated "work" and "take care of" in Genesis 2:15 may also be translated "serve" and "preserve." Why should we as Christians should serve our environment? Reasons to serve and care for our environment. The Bible gives us three main reasons why we should care for the environment. First, God Himself says that His creation is very good. We are so blessed that we was given this beautiful earth for us to live in for free. The material world matters to God. He sustains it all the time. Without Him, it would fall apart into chaos. In Colossians 1:17 says, "He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." So if we neglect, abuse, and spoil the environment, we are damaging something that is very precious to God. The second and even more important reason why we should care for the environment is that in Genesis 1:28 and 2:15, God specifically commanded humankind to do so. He told us to take care of both the living and the non-living creation. We are to work at ruling and ordering creation as good stewards without abusing it for our own selfish ends. By caring for the earth properly, we enable it to be fruitful and to play its intended role in giving glory to God. That is part of our proper worship of God. The very existence of the universe is the result of God's creative activity. The third reason is that one day the cosmos will be renewed and recreated as the new heavens and new earth, to which both the Old and New Testaments look forward to, Isaiah 65 and Revelation 21. That will bring the fullness of life that God intended and purposed for His creation, a place where people will truly be at home, where God will dwell with His people, and both they and the whole of creation will worship Him and give Him glory. So, how we treat the environment now ought to be a preview, a practice run, if you like, of what we will do in the new creation. The certain hope of a renewed future creation is not a license to abandon care for this one. Rather, the opposite in this case. There is every incentive to foster and to use the innate goodness and fruitfulness of this material world to do what is pleasing to God in our time and place. As Martin Luther is supposed to have remarked, "If I knew Jesus would return tomorrow, I would plant a tree today." How can we preserve our environment? It is increasingly clear that our use of oil and gas in the West is driving rapid climate change in the whole world. It may not have much effect on us in the short term, other than maybe giving us longer and hotter summers in the UK. But the effect of more extreme weather events will fall disproportionately on the very young and very old, on the poor and marginalized in places. One quarter of the planet's population lives in poverty and is extremely vulnerable to changes caused by drought, wildfires, flooding, to the failure of agricultural crops, or to rising sea levels. If we take care of our global neighbor seriously, we need to consider the impact of our lifestyle on them. Many of the practical things we can do are not difficult, and indeed are often personally beneficial. Walking to school or church is usually healthier than driving. Changing to low-energy light bulbs, switching the TV off standby, and insulating our homes will all save us money. There are a few points we can discuss. So if you would like, I will give you a few minutes to discuss what we can do to make a positive impact on our environment. Perhaps you can get into small groups and discuss the following points. Thank you. There are so many changes we could do to make a healthy, positive environment. I'm sure you have discussed many ideas. I would like to bring your attention and show you a few pictures of the work I have been organizing in my community, where I live in Lindley Crescent, to achieve a positive environment. During the lockdown, we all had plenty of time to go for walks. On our walks, we realized that the local parks were accumulating so much rubbish and the whole area was looking very untidy. It really made me think about the damage we are doing to the environment with plastic and rubbish. So with the help of the church family, we organized a litter pick to tidy up the local streets and parks. After that, I organized a planting project in my road with the permission of the council to bring a bit of color and cheer to end the lockdown. I had so much help from our church family, local businesses, and our own councillors, Jason and Dilip. The community in Lindley Crescent and Percy Road came together and planted something colourful in their own front gardens, the roundabout, and the pathway to King George's Park to end the pandemic. The plants are bringing so much joy, not only for the pollinators, but the whole community. We have built a strong community with our WhatsApp group, helping people reduce waste, reuse and recycle. Community keeping the area tidy and clean from litter. The children continue to do regular litter picking in local parks. Here are some before and after pictures of my project. Now we are going to see what the Bible says in Romans 8, 18 to 25. Paul has written that for Christians, our present sufferings on this earth on this side of eternity are not worth comparing to God's glory that will be revealed. Given that life is full of such enormous suffering, God's glory must be incomprehensibly wonderful. This in no way minimizes our pain and suffering. On the contrary, it acknowledges it while keeping an eternal perspective. Now, Paul writes that saved Christians are not the only ones who long for the moment when suffering will be replaced by glory. In fact, the creation eagerly longs for it as well. Paul describes creation as experiencing an awareness that something better is coming. By creation, Paul is referring to all God has made, from plants and animals to other people, to the air, water and sky. And all of it, all of us are waiting for a moment when everything will finally be made right. A moment is coming when those in Christ will be glorified, and it will become impossible to deny that we are God's children. God's righteousness and our faith in him will be vindicated to the world. Paul is describing a future time when God will make all things right. All of nature is eagerly looking forward to that day. In conclusion, we're working towards that day, bit by bit, setting creation free from decay, working together as God's children with others, waiting for Jesus to return and make all things new. Amen.